The second reading, then, is selected verses, as you see, from Matthew chapter 2. Again, this particular text is more customarily read on Epiphany Sunday, but as our series again speaks of King Herod and his anticipation of the Christ child, it's fitting tonight as well. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. And then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." May God's everlasting grace and his abundant peace be with you for Jesus' sake. Amen. The text is very brief. It's part of the reading from Matthew 2 that we had a moment ago. It's verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So far the word. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, it always seems that once the calendar turns to the month of December, there are all kinds of reactions that people have to seeing that Christmas, well, now is but 2 weeks and 2 days away. Young children, their reaction is very often excitement, looking forward to decorating the tree, getting the lights put up, opening the gifts. Students may react by scrambling to get those essays done, term papers finished, before Christmas or whenever the semester comes to an end, cramming for the finals. And parents react, and I know because I'm one of them, parents have that way of reacting with, it's Halloween, looking at the calendar and seeing the list of things that need to be done before Christmas comes. But of any reaction that typically is made to Christmas coming, what we have in King Herod is by far very unique. I don't know if anybody who reacts to the news of Jesus coming with being troubled. That word brings a picture to mind. Think of calm water that is all of a sudden full of huge waves, ripples, being troubled. That's the idea of King Herod here. Say he was troubled, he was stirred up, agitated, bothered. even fearful. Now, you might think, well, Pastor Krause, to say that Herod was unique in being filled with fear, well, that's not unique, because so were the shepherds. Except there's a difference. The shepherds were filled with fear at the sight of the angel. When they heard the news of Christ's birth, they were filled with joy. Not Herod. So what was going on? There's a man that lived at Jesus' time, a historian of sorts, named Josephus. He records what this King Herod was like, that he was a very, very, very jealous man, particularly when it came to his power, his position as king. If there was any kind of a threat whatsoever, even if it came from his own family, this king was known to deal with things in a very quick and rather horrific way. And what we have from the true inspired Word of God this evening backs that up. Herod was troubled, and when Jerusalem learned about it, the whole city was troubled with him, not knowing what this madman might do next. Now, you and I know Jesus was not a threat to King Herod's throne. His reason for coming as a king was to destroy enemies, yes, but in the spiritual sense. Sin, death, the power of the devil didn't come to rule on a physical throne. But, see, that didn't matter to Herod. Just the fact that he heard that there was one who had been born king of the Jews, that was enough. Because, see, King Herod, with all the power he hadn't been born the king of the Jews. He was an Edomian, descendant from Esau, the Edomites. He didn't have the birthright to that throne. And so here, when one is born that has more of a right to rule than he did, now, look out. He was troubled. And to top his being troubled off, he also became incredibly angry, exceedingly angry, at being deceived by the wise men that we read about just a moment ago. So he saw to the destruction of all the baby boys, 2 years old and under, not just in Bethlehem, but in all of its districts, all the area round about. The birth of Jesus. What's our reaction? It certainly is not being troubled. Our response, our reaction is with joy. Like the angel said. Because his coming is as Emmanuel, God with us. This one who's born is the Son of God and the Son of Man, who by his perfect life would in the end get our eternal life by dying on the cross. His arrival means the beginning of the fulfillment of every single prophecy in the Old Testament concerning the Christ, the one who is chosen to serve as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He had come to be one like us, so that through his perfect life and death, we can be clothed in righteousness, in the robes washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. But whether it's at the hand of King Herod, who in his anger tried to kill Jesus with all those other baby boys, or whether it's at the hand of the people of Nazareth 30 years later, who tried to see to Jesus' death by pushing him off the brow of that hill on which Nazareth was built. Or if it was at the hand of the Jews on Good Friday, who did their best to force the hand of Pilate to see to Jesus' execution. No matter whose hand it was, it's very evident that the sinful world wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And Jesus warns us that it is no different today. John 15, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." So here's where you see the direction that this theme is taking us tonight. It's certainly true, on the one hand, that when we look at King Herod and the way he responded to Christ's birth with incredible anger, hatred, we certainly ask God to keep us from reacting that way, yes. But tonight, what we want to look at is just how we move forward now as Jesus' servants, as his believers, as his people, his witnesses. How do we move forward now in the face of the anger of the world in which we live today? In the face of blatant anti-Christian attitudes that are all around us. Because yes, it is still true today. The world still has no time for Jesus and his salvation. The devil still is in control of the sinful world. And we don't have to look far to see the battle lines that have been drawn in our country. A simple illustration, you think of how so many people, businesses perhaps, advise their workers or others to say happy holidays. No, don't dare say Merry Christmas. Or you think of how so many places, cities, municipalities, when it comes to decorations in the public square, the town parks, no, can't have anything Christian? Manger scenes? No. Not even sometimes Christmas trees anymore. And then you broaden that out, not just Christmas, but anything. Look at how Christian values, biblical morals, biblical truths are being trampled upon. But things that have to do with the Muslim faith, well, that's being praised, supported. My prayer is that God would help you and me to stand up. To stand up in the face of what it is that we see going on. You know, sinful world, anger, or hatred against anything Christian. That we don't simply slink away with our tail between our legs and hide who we are, but rather speak, sound off. Not in the sense of violence, as if somehow God has allowed us to take revenge on those who are not Christian or who are not allowing us to voice our faith as we wish. No. Rather, may it be that God would help us with grace to step forward boldly with love and proclaim what God's word says. The condemnation of the law on sin and the answer to sin that's found in the gospel. That now in the Christmas season we do not shy away from witnessing like the shepherds did. When they had seen him, they made known abroad, widely known, the saying that was told them concerning this child. We remember how Jesus spoke of the difficulties that we would face. Luke 21, he says even more. They will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. So yes, I pray that God would help you and me in our Christmas witness to the truths of God's Word, to witness to the Christ child whose birth we're anticipating, looking forward to. There's one other thing I'd like to have a few minutes yet this evening. Besides asking for God's blessings on us and our witness, also we want to pray on behalf of other Christians the world over who are facing much more severe retaliation than we are. There's an organization, you may have heard of them, they're called the Voice of the Martyrs. It's a worldwide organization that their purpose is to make Christians worldwide aware of persecution that's going on in our world. A couple cases I'd like to make you aware of. On November 8th, this year, there's a woman, her name is Asia, in the country of Pakistan. She's before the judge. Why? Because she was at work in her village, and if you can picture how this is, her family was one of three in a community of 1,500 families. Three of those families were Christians. All the rest were Muslims. Okay, so that's the setting. She was at work with many other women who were Muslims. And they, knowing that she was a Christian, they were doing all they could to talk up Allah, to speak highly of the Muslim faith, get her to convert to the religion of Islam. And she, in response, was speaking of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, saying, "Our Christ is the true prophet of God." And what happened? The Muslim women with whom she worked became angry. Oh, sounds like Herod, doesn't it? Became angry with her to the point that they beat her. Called in some men who also got involved. They ended up locking her in her room and announced through the whole neighborhood, the whole community, over the mosque speakers that this woman, Asia, would be punished by having her face blackened and she would be paraded through the village on a donkey. Now, there's more. Once this news got out, and there were other Christians in a larger area who found out, they called in the police, which ended up not being a good idea, because the police then took her into custody, and she now stands on trial for blasphemy, speaking, daring to speak against Allah. And she's on trial to be put to death, simply for witnessing her faith. One other brief account. Mosul, Iraq. November 22nd, not more than a few weeks ago, says that, according to a couple news agencies, there were two brothers owned a shop in Mosul. They happened to be Christians. Two of the very few in Iraq who are now. It said on the computer that 1.6% of Iraq's population is Christian. There's 29 million people in Iraq. 1.6% of that are Christians. and that these two brothers who own the business, that they are not the only Christians that have been targeted. But in this particular case, people barged into their business, shot both of the brothers. One died on the spot, the other died a matter of hours later, simply because they were brave enough to let people know who they were, that they were Christians. Well, certainly we pray on their behalf that God would help these fellow Christians to be bold in their witness, and that when persecution comes, that God would be with them, giving them the strength they need to face up to it. The peace of mind and the comfort from the gospel when they lose loved ones as a result. So to close, Herod had his reaction to Jesus' birth. He's troubled. Our world has its unbelieving reaction to the news of Christ as well. But as Christmas approaches, let's not simply bemoan what we see happening and say, oh, again, Christmas just isn't Christmas anymore, and the world's taking over on Christmas, things are so secular. Let's not just bemoan the takeover by the secular world, but let's make known as much as we can just what the message of Christmas is. With the shepherds, glorifying and praising God for all the things that we have heard and seen as it has been told to us. Amen.